On 88.1 WIPR, I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. Today, it's another Midday on Politics. With less than 2 weeks until Election Day, our Talking with the Candidates series continues with a focus on the 2nd Congressional District, which includes communities in Baltimore City, as well as Anne Arundel, Baltimore, Harford, and Howard counties. Democrat Dutch Ruppersberger has represented the 2nd District in the U.S. Congress for the past 14 years. He's been an advocate for improved health care for veterans and has made national security and rebuilding the middle class priority issues. He's being challenged by four-term Maryland delegate Pat McDonough. He's also been an advocate for veterans, an outspoken critic of immigration policy, and a strong supporter of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. Dutch Ruppersberger and Pat McDonough take my questions and your calls and comments today on Midday, right after these headlines. And welcome to Midday, everybody, on 88.1 on this Friday, a final day of a very busy week. I'm Tom Hall. Very glad you're with us. Today, again, it's Midday on Politics. Our Talking with the Candidates series continues with a focus on the 2nd Congressional District, which includes communities in Baltimore City, as well as Anne Arundel, Baltimore, Harford, and Howard counties. Democratic Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger has represented the 2nd District in Congress for the past 14 years. He's being challenged in next month's election by four-term Maryland delegate Pat McDonough, and they both join me in the studio this afternoon. Dutch Ruppersberger is 70 years old. He's married to his high school sweetheart, the former Kay Murphy. They have two grown children and three grandchildren. He's a Baltimore native and former two-term Baltimore County executive who began his career in the state's attorney's office and served on the Baltimore County Council before winning the 2nd District congressional seat in 2002. Ruppersberger was the first Democratic freshman ever to be appointed to the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Delegate Pat McDonough is 73 years old. He is also a Baltimore native who now lives in Middle River. He's married to his second wife, Valerie, and he has two children from his previous marriage. He founded a communications and media company called Rally Corps, which his wife now runs. Mr. McDonough hosts a talk show Saturday nights on WCBM Radio, and he is a frequent public affairs analyst for Fox 45 Television. He's also the host of Rally for America, a weekly current affairs show on the Fox Digital Network. He served a single term in the House of Delegates in 1979 as a Democrat. He returned in 2003 as a Republican, and he's won four consecutive terms to Maryland's House. He serves on the Health and Government Operations Committee. Gentlemen, it's great to see both of you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Delegate, let's start with you. You've been in the Maryland House for a number of years. What would you count as your proudest legislative achievement?
Well, there's a couple of them. When I first went to the House, actually in the first year there, we had a very huge challenge on Blue Cross and Blue Shield. If you can recall, they were trying to move out of the state of Maryland, which would have been a tragedy. It was actually, in my opinion, an idea for some of the VIPs there to get some money, some golden parachutes. They wanted to go to a company in California. I was on the health committee. In fact, the health committee was created that year, so it was a new committee, and thank God for that. We worked hard to prevent them from leaving. We passed legislation. I was a co-sponsor, but I was one of the leaders. If you're a Republican, you're not going to be the sponsor of the bill. It's a Democrat legislature, as we know, even more so at that time. So we did pass that legislation. It prevented them from leaving and kept that big company right here in the state of Maryland. One of the other things was that the company they were going to become part of 2 years later went bankrupt, which would have been a tragedy for the state of Maryland. More recently, one of the pieces of legislation that I had really worked on was on the rain tax, which I thought was totally unnecessary. I agreed with the idea behind the rain tax, the requirements that you would need to comply with the federal regulations, which under the new rain tax law, where we've eliminated the option of the rain tax, you still have to comply with those regulations. A lot of people don't know that, but you do. But I had introduced the bill 2 years ago, and then the governor got elected, and he agreed to co-sponsor the bill with me, in which case it then went before the Democrat leadership. And Mike Miller said, I think you're right about this. A lot of people don't like this rain tax, so here's what we'll do. We'll change the bill around and make it an option for the local governments to decide whether they want to have it or not. The bill passed.
And that's the option to have a dedicated source of funding to deal with the runoff and protect the bay.
Absolutely. And in Baltimore County, I worked and lobbied the county council with Councilman Marks and others, and they all agreed unanimously that they did not want the rain tax. So they, the county executive wanted to keep it, but he was outnumbered. He didn't have one councilman in his favor. So they did eliminate it. So those are two things. And finally, on the health committee, I've passed a number of bills related to nursing homes and the elderly, which don't get a lot of press or anything, but I think are very helpful.
Congressman Ruppersberger, you serve on the Intelligence Committee. You are part of what's known as the Gang of Eight, meaning that there are eight elected officials who are required by law to be briefed on intelligence matters by the president. It's a way of oversight. Serving on that committee, how in what ways does that directly affect the voters in the 2nd District?
Well, before I answer that, I'm no longer on the committee. I was on the Intelligence Committee for 12 years, leadership 4 years, and I'm now on Defense Appropriations and State and Foreign Ops. So I was termed out of that. How it affects, first thing, the state of Maryland is the, and especially my district, the cyber is the cybersecurity capital of the world. And basically because of NSA that has over 30,000 employees that every day are working to assist our military, our other intelligence agencies. And it should be noted, too, that the NSA, there's a lot of false information. The NSA has no jurisdiction in the United States. So if they pick up any issues or something has to be done in the United States, that goes to the FBI. And then the FBI will have to do what they have to do or go to a judge or whatever. But also jobs.
So the NSA concerns itself with foreign intelligence.
Yeah, foreign intelligence.
Right.
And have no jurisdiction in our country. Now, the issue here, though, that you bring up are jobs. Jobs are some of the most important things that we can do to help our country and make our country strong. If you don't have a job, you can't support your family, you can't support your state, your community, your country. And so the jobs that this creates are tremendous in our area. We also have, in the 2nd District, I have two Army bases and Fort Meade, and we also have an Air Force base. So we're very, very military-focused because of the jobs that are created not only with the enlisted people, but the people that aren't enlisted that work in these different areas. This is a very dangerous world. I think most of the people who deal in the area of national security will tell you that it's probably the most dangerous time that we've faced in our country since probably World War II. And the reason is because you have the China-Russia threat. You have Iran, North Korea. What people don't realize is that nuclear weapons are really as serious, if not more serious, than ISIS, as an example. ISIS gets more media attention, but nuclear weapons could really destroy the whole world. And we have some unstable countries like North Korea that really have and that we have to watch and monitor. You know, we have close to 30,000 troops in South Korea, and Seoul is very close to North Korea. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're on top of that issue. And we also have other allies over there, like Japan and like Vietnam and those areas. But and also we have an issue with Iran. The issue came up about the vote on Iran and where we go. I can tell you the whole purpose of that vote and for Iran and whether was to stop
them. The treaty with Iran to stop them building a nuclear weapon.
The issue is nuclear weapons. Iran is a dangerous country. They promote terrorism. They have a group called the Quds Force, which are a combination of our CIA, of our special ops. And we really have to keep our eye on the ball with Iran, and especially as it relates to protecting our best ally in probably the world is Israel, and how we have to affect that. So it's in Congress, what you do, you have two focal points, the way I look at it. You have constituent service, which I will match my team with anybody in the United States on what we do with constituent service. And a big reason that we focus and we're good at it is because I served in local government, and that's where you deal with constituent service. The other issue is what you do in Washington, and that is my specialty is, number one, it has been national security, but also now that I'm on the Appropriations Committee, we're losing Barbara Mikulski. She was chairman of the Appropriations on the Senate side. So with Barbara gone, there's only two of us in the state of Maryland that are competing with every other state in the country to get what we need, whether it's for roads and education and all those different areas.
I'd like to address some of those points. I mean, that was a little bit off the topic, I think. We really went into foreign policy and national security. And I have some very serious concerns about some of the things that Dutch just talked about. And I'd like to start with, first of all, the Iranian deal. I think the Iranian deal was a serious mistake. Since the deal has been consummated and Dutch supported it, we've got hundreds of millions of dollars. Some are estimating in the Wall Street Journal as much as $1 trillion now going into Iran from the United States, European countries, and other allies. And that money is being used to spend in the Middle East, in Syria, with terrorists all around the world. ISIS is now in 73 countries around the world.
But let me just interrupt for a second to say that that deal is done.
No, it's not done.
That deal is done. I mean, moving forward, what do we do?
Well, here's the point. The deal is really not done. The deal can be undone because there's a lot of questioning about the constitutionality, the Senate approval, and the signed deals that were consummated that were never disclosed to the American people. There's a lot of questions about the deal. So what should have been done and what can still be done is the following. We had sanctions that were starting to work. That's the only reason the Iranians began to negotiate the deal. The sanctions themselves should have been intensified significantly. Now, Dutch won't admit this, but the fact of the matter is 5 years ago, the Israelis intervened and interfered in the nuclear program of Iran through cyber warfare. They upset the silos and the testing equipment, and we can still do that today. We do not need to go to war. They like to throw up this false option all the time. You have two options. You can either go to war or we can do this deal. Well, that's a lot of baloney. There were a lot of other options.
So were you to be elected to Congress? What would you
then propose? I would work with the president or work with the Republican Congress or people with common sense who fear Iran and do not trust them. They're firing at our ships, by the way, right now from Yemen. They're firing at our ships, Iranian-sponsored terrorists. So you can't trust them at all. We would undo this deal and we would crack down and put serious sanctions on them and see where that goes and use our cyber technology, which we're behind China and India.
You would do sanctions unilaterally, in other words, only the United States, because do you think there'd be a chance that other countries would join the sanctions?
Look, if you have leadership like Barack Obama, you're not going to get other countries because he's a weak leader, he's a failed leader, and they don't respect him. China and Russia do not respect him. But if you elect a leader who will use the strength and authority of the United States, and you go out and you get those allies and you get those support groups, yes, you will be able to use sanctions.
All right, Congressman.
He's made a couple issues. And in all fairness to Pat, this is my specialty. And a lot of things that he's talking about, I can't even talk about because they're classified. But let me say this. To begin with, Iran is dangerous. We agree on that. And they keep exporting terrorism. There's no question about that. We have sanctions on Iran right now. Sanctions because of what they're doing as far as promoting terrorism and the things that they're doing, whether it's Syria, whether it's South America. Iran's very dangerous, and including cyber attack. Iran has cyber attacked our country. Now, that's number one. The thing with Iran and what in the end happened and it voted, all of our allies and Russia and China all agreed. They were all really concerned about Iran getting nuclear weapons. If they got nuclear weapons, they were 4 or 5 months away. Number one, that would have put all of the Middle East at risk. That would have put Israel at risk. And not only that, then other countries, before that would happen, would buy nuclear weapons. Saudi Arabia would have, Turkey would have, or these other countries, because they don't want an unstable regime like Khomeini and like Iran to have what they want. So that's number one. The sanctions are there. We're continuing sanctions. And I don't expect Pat to know this because he doesn't specialize in this area. So I do know this area. I think I also didn't vote until the end, even though I knew I was behind the deal from the beginning, because I knew that when I came in, a lot of people over there, Republicans and Democrats, because I'm very bipartisan when it comes to national security, asked me for my advice, and they would follow my vote. And what I got from the president after he called me 2 or 3 times, and wasn't telling him where I was until the end, and I said, I want a letter from you to say that if, in fact, Iran violates any of the conditions of this deal, that I want to say what you're going to do and that you will stand up and you will play, so to speak, hardball. And if you like, I can get you a copy of that letter. It's about a 2 or 3 page letter. So I think as far as Iran is concerned, they're very difficult. We have to be on top of them. But there are other difficult areas, too, like North Korea.
Well, let's go into one at a time because getting into a little filibuster.
I'm trying to respond to your point.
No, you're going to.
And, gentlemen, we are going to take a quick break. Okay. And when we come back, we'll take some calls from some listeners and some emails and tweets. And we're going to have hopefully time to talk about many more issues. I appreciate both of you being here. We're talking with the two major party candidates for for Maryland's 2nd Congressional District. The 7-term incumbent Democrat Representative Dutch Ruppersberger and radio talk show host and 4-term Republican delegate Pat McDonough. We will take a short break, and when we come back, we will take your questions and comments for the candidates. You can give us a call at 410-662-8780. You can drop us an email, midday@wipr.org, and our Twitter handle is @MiddayTomHall. Glad you're with us. Stick around.
This is your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back to Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Looking ahead, on Midday Monday, a conversation about the changing face of leadership in Baltimore City. When the dust settles after the November 8th election, 8 of the 14 Baltimore City Council seats will be occupied by new members with no experience as legislators. We'll talk about what that might mean for the city as it moves forward with ambitious development plans and it continues to grapple with the legacy of racial inequality and a frayed relationship between law enforcement and people of color. I'll be joined by 3 reporters who have covered the city for a long time, Jane Miller from WBAL-TV, Luke Broadwater from the Baltimore Sun, and our very own Kenneth Burns, the Metro reporter for WYPR. That's coming up on Midday Monday. If you've just joined us today, my guests are Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger and State Delegate Pat McDonough, who are running against each other in Maryland's 2nd Congressional District. Representative Ruppersberger has held that seat since 2002. The 2nd District is home to some of Maryland's largest employers and economic hubs. They include the Port of Baltimore, the National Security Agency, Fort Meade, Aberdeen Proving Ground, and the Coast Guard Yard at Curtis Bay. You are welcome to join our conversation. Our Twitter handle @MiddayTomHall, our email midday@wipr.org, and our telephone number 410-662-8780. That's 410-662-8780 to have a conversation with Pat McDonough and Dutch Ruppersberger. Delegate McDonough?
I'd like to just cover one of these slights that Dutch likes to throw out there.
Oh, come on, Pat, get real. This is a show where we're talking issues.
You don't mind if I make a comment? You
just one quick comment, then I've got a question for
you,
sir.
I mean, this nonsense about he is some kind of a super god on the issue of national security and I'm just a neophyte who doesn't know anything about it is a bunch of nonsense. First of all, I've been doing talk radio and public policy for 20 years. I do a lot of research. I've done special programs.
Your point is taken. He has served on the intelligence committee.
So what? What has he done on the intelligence committee?
I've been to Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen.
Yeah, you should have stayed
there.
I've
done their budgets.
Listen, what about all of these things that have occurred on your watch that you own? How about ISIS? How about Libya?
How about Egypt?
How about the Boston bombers? How about all?
Delegate, what have you done about it? I appreciate the point. We're going to move on. I want to talk about early voting that began yesterday. Double the number of people started to vote early yesterday than the last time early voting started. You opposed legislation allowing early voting back in 2007, and you charged last week in a press release that Maryland will be the victim of massive voter fraud in this election. What is your evidence for that?
Well, let's talk about the first one, of course. Now, yesterday was a record breaker, as you know. I think it was like a burst of frustration because we've been out on the streets, and today it's reduced dramatically the number of people that have come out. But I think overall it's going to be a record. I opposed originally, there were 2 bills. One had an even more extended period of time. I don't oppose early voting. I think that from Thursday to Thursday is a bit too much. I think we could reduce that to 5 days. A lot of people offered amendments on the original bill, which I supported, that would have done that. Now, in reference to the charges that I've made, which we are sticking to, it has nothing to do with Dutch. It has nothing to do with the campaign. It's about voter fraud in the state of Maryland. About 4 years ago, a Voters Alliance group investigated voter fraud in the county of Frederick. And when they entered the county of Frederick, they fell upon the jury pool. The jury system is very simple. Everybody in the United States knows how it works. You get called for jury duty, you're registered to vote, you come in, you have to sign a legal document, an affidavit that says you are a citizen of the United States. Well, illegal immigrants were coming in who were registered to vote and were called in, and they actually signed the document, but they said they didn't want to vote because they were not citizens. So they signed the document as not being citizens. So that's a smoking gun. It's a legal document. There were 400 of them uncovered in Frederick County. Now, here's how the law works. It's very simple. When the jury clerk gets that information, they are to forward it to the election board. The election board removes them from the rolls, and then they are to forward it to the state prosecutor, who takes action. That is the law in Maryland. It's supposed to happen four times a year. Right now, it's not happening at all. They aren't forwarding it, so the people are remaining on the rolls. Now, that's one small county, and the jury system is the same throughout the state of Maryland.
Of course, being on the rolls doesn't necessarily mean people are impersonating other people at the polls. There was a lawsuit that was filed concerning this, and that was withdrawn 1 week after it was filed. Linda Lamone from the State Board of Elections said that there were allegations about one individual named in that complaint, and those turned out to be found to be not true.
No, that's not actually what happened. What happened was the lawsuit—
This comes from the State Board of Elections.
Well, the State Board of Elections is really not in a position to say anything about it because it is not about—
You believe that fraud will be—you're convinced that there will be massive voter fraud a week from Tuesday.
There's no question about it, and we will continue the process. We've enlisted a national legal foundation that's going to help do the work, a Judicial Watch. They believe it's
very
serious.
And you're making these allegations before the election rather than after the election?
No. I made them 4 years ago.
Okay.
And I made them 2 years ago. I introduced a bill in the state legislature.
Right. Congressman, is this a change election? I mean, people talk about the proclivity for disruption and change and throw everybody out.
I think the whole country, unfortunately, are the sick and tired of this negative campaign. And the issues are not being addressed or debated. It's more about sex and who did what or whatever on both sides of the aisle. And I really blame the national media for moving forward on sensationalism and not fact-based. So, you know, I think people are frustrated. But when you compare the two candidates, I think that I can tell you on the Trump side, you have loyal people who will stay with Trump to the end. I think from what I know now, he still has not, where he needs to, broken 40%. And then you have the issue on the Hillary side, and you have a lot of people that are loyal there. But I think when you compare both candidates in the end, I think you see that Hillary has a lot of experience more than Trump. Now, you know, let's talk about what he said as far as voter fraud. If you look at Pat's record in the state of Maryland and in the legislature, I just checked it in the last 5 years. He has not voted for one, he's not, in the last 10 years, not one budget for operations. On the capital side, which is what you deal with as far as building schools, roads, streets, highways, that type of thing. On the capital side, he's voted for one budget. Now, if you don't vote for budgets, you're not representing your constituents, because where does the money come from in order to pay for schools, alleys, sidewalks, that type of thing? And when you're in Congress, you have a huge district here, and especially when you're on the Appropriations Committee where I am, it's your job to get our fair share for roads, streets, alleys, sidewalks, schools, all these different things. So when Pat puts something out like the voter fraud, and this is what his friend and his, I don't know, dear friend, but who you've said you're very proud that you're considered to be the Trump of Maryland, I think when you look at that and you see he raises these kind of issues, give me the facts. You know, give me the facts. That's the difference, I think, between Pat and I. Pat makes some of these statements that rile up people, whether it's immigration or whatever that may be. But where is the record? Pat, I want to know, where is your record?
If you give me a chance to answer, we'll give you the answer.
I still have the floor. You had it for a while. But I hope I answered your question, though, as far as voter fraud. We have the best system in the world. When people try to say that it's not the best system, they're wrong. And I think there are a couple of things that are outrageous. I'm not going to get into Trump unless you ask the question. But when an individual says at the end of election that there's fraud, that's a poor loser. Now, whether he's going to lose or win, that's up to the voters. But right now, the polls are down. And in that situation,
I'd like to get an answer in sometime.
Okay. Delegate, we'll let you respond briefly, and then we're going to go to the phones.
Well, why am I briefly, and he can conduct a filibuster? He said a lot of things there, and I want to address each issue individually.
Let's hear what you have to say, then we're going to go to the phone.
Let's start with the first one. The voter fraud is, I actually want Dutch to help us because it is a federal felony what is happening, and I'd like the U.S. attorney to step in, and we sent a letter to the U.S. attorney in that regard. We're very serious about this. He can dismiss it. If he doesn't care about voter fraud and people having their votes diluted, that's his business.
You give me the facts, I'll work with you.
The second thing is
the plaintiffs have withdrawn the lawsuit that was filed in that case.
The plaintiffs withdrew the lawsuit, Tom, because there was an argument and a disagreement between the attorney and the Voter Alliance Department. We have Judicial Watch. We have one of the greatest law firms that exposed Hillary working on this. We're not talking about some attorney in Virginia. Has nothing to do with the case. But the fact of the matter is we're going to talk about the budget, which he said was something important, but he's wrong about that. He said, I didn't vote for 5 budgets. No, Dutch, I didn't vote for 10 budgets.
No, that was on the operating side.
And the reason that I didn't vote for 10 budgets, including two of them that belonged to Bob Ehrlich, is because I said on the floor of the House and when I got elected, I would never vote for a budget that contained a spending increase and contained a tax increase. And all 10 of them did. When I first started, 3 state legislators joined me. When I ended, 45 state legislators joined me. Dutch, that's called leadership. But the budgets you voted on have created a $20 trillion debt in the United States, a deficit every single day, and also in addition to that, a 1% growth. So you keep voting for those bad budgets, Dutch, and I'm sure the American people will be very proud of you.
We're going to go to the phones. Tom from Parkville, welcome to Midday with Delegate McDonough and Congressman Ruppersberger. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to know your views on this question. Is payment of income taxes a civic responsibility?
Congressman, what do you think?
Oh, definitely. You can't operate any entity, whether it's business or government, without revenue coming in. The thing that we have to work on is to continue to prioritize our budgets, find where we're going. But if you want to be the strongest country in the world to protect our national security, you need to give our troops and our intelligence communities the resources to do the jobs. So, you know, it's like anything else. Pat brags about the fact never raising taxes. When I was Baltimore County Executive, I never raised taxes, but I would have raised taxes if it was meant that I had to put money into education, if I had to put money into protecting us with our police departments and fire departments. You know, I would have done that. But as a result of the fact that I put money into infrastructure, we were able to generate enough tax dollars that I did not have to raise. But Doug Raleigh and I, who, when we were on the county council, and at that point when I was on the council, it was controlled by Republicans. But Doug and I agreed that we would raise taxes, which was really more difficult for him as a Republican, if, in fact, it went to education or public safety. So you can't grow without investing. But the most important thing is good management and having good people around you. I've had an experience in budgeting. And that is the difference between myself.
I think it's a civic responsibility to pay taxes. It's also a civic responsibility as a public official to create programs and policies that do not overtax people, that do not create taxes that harm the country's economy. Dutch and the administration of Obama have done nothing about all of these jobs going out of the country with these globalist corporations. There are taxes that could be changed there. They have a 35% corporate tax in the United States, the highest in the country, that should be reduced to 25%. I would give manufacturing a zero income tax in the United States, corporate tax, in order to create a manufacturing superpower. We, you know, Dutch can't deny this. He can do a lot of rambling and a lot of talking, but he's just talking about nothing. The fact of the matter is he can't answer for 1% growth. He can't answer for $20 trillion, and it's on his watch.
Just
he owns
this morning,
it.
Delegate, just this morning it was announced that GDP grew 2.9%.
No kidding, right before an election, really?
In the third
I'm
quarter,
shocked.
It was higher than expected.
I am shocked.
Donald Trump is promising 5% growth in his budget. Do you believe that that's an attainable?
I believe that 4 and 5% growth is normal for the United States. John F. Kennedy, Bill Clinton, Bush, all of them obtained 4 and 5% growth. Ronald Reagan, 3, 4, 5% growth. This is anemic. This is third world economics. 1% growth for 8 years. Give me a break. 2.9 before an election. Oh, I'm shocked.
Let's talk about when Bill Clinton was there and we had a tremendous economy. Then what happened, what really caused all this in the beginning is when the neocons came in, Rumsfeld and Cheney, and they went to war. And by the way, when we attacked Iraq, that was the first time that our country has attacked any country that hadn't attacked us. And what their philosophy was is that we're going to war for 2 wars that we were in, Iraq and Afghanistan. We didn't pay for them. And it almost put us into a depression. And thank goodness that we had the courage to make the hard decisions so that we still have manufacturing cars in our United States. We were going to lose all of that. And at this point, you know, we've been able to come out of it slowly and a lot better. And I want to point out that was Republican leadership, and the Republicans control the House and the Senate right now. So my opponent's saying that on my watch, well, you know, his side of the aisle is in charge right now. We can't get bills passed over there. Hopefully,
thank God,
in this election, that we will have more Democratic seats. I don't anticipate we'll take the House, but they will come together. Now, the good news In the national security area, there are Republicans who work with me and other Democrats to do what is right. And the other thing, we also have a Ways and Means chairman who's in charge, name's Brady, Congressman Brady, and I've met with, who were talking about how to restructure taxes so that they're fair. The one issue out there that needs to be talked about are municipal bonds. Unfortunately, Obama's talking about lowering municipal bonds. What they are, that's where local government, state government borrow money to build schools, sidewalks, alleys, streets, all those type of things. And so we have to stay on core and dealing with our, we talk about national security, but talk about domestic issues that are so important to
our
country.
Let's talk about jobs for just 1 minute. Not just talking about jobs for government.
No, the
creation of jobs in the United States, 75% to 80% are by the small business community. We create 300,000 new small businesses a year, and we've been losing 400,000, a net loss of 100,000. One of the reasons is because of Dutch and other Democrats promoting and supporting the Dodd-Frank Act. The Dodd-Frank Act has killed 15,000 banks.
So you propose to repeal the Dodd-Frank Act?
Repeal it or either reform it, because it's killing the small business community. It's killing the small banks, 15,000 in the United States destroyed by the Dodd-Frank Act. And then, you know, Dutch talks about creating jobs, and then he's a big supporter of Obamacare. Obamacare is killing small business in this country. That's killing jobs. Royal Farm, Dutch, hires people, thousands of them in this community, for 30 hours a week because they don't want to pay the Obamacare costs. And that is jobs lost. So you support businesses that are being lost by the policies that you and Obama have promoted gleefully, but a small business is getting killed. You want jobs for government.
But
I want jobs for the private sector.
Delegate, forgive me. Royal Farms is a corporation. If they have a choice to offer employer-based health care to their employees. Right. That's not Obamacare. Obamacare is for people who don't have employer-based health care.
Well, Obamacare also affects...
Right now, there are 260 million people who are covered by employer-based health care. There are about 10 million people.
Yeah, but the cost of the employer-based health care has gone up tremendously, dramatically, and it goes into a different rate system. It's not platinum if it goes above the 30 employees.
All right, well, let me
Congressman,
I've got a lot of response.
Fixing Obamacare.
Number one, I'm in favor of jobs for Americans and my constituents in America, not just for government. So that's a ridiculous statement, Pat. But the bottom line is...
You brought it up.
Dodd-Frank. Let me tell you what Dodd-Frank did. We almost went into a depression because of the fact that Wall Street and Enron and all these Wall Street companies, by the way, almost put us into this depression. And then we came around and passed a bill, Dodd-Frank, which got them under control. Now, he talks about community banks. Now, Pat, you don't like it when I say get your facts straight, but bottom...
Your facts are straight. You have Washington facts.
I'm an American, and I'm in Baltimore. But whatever, getting back to the issue of Dodd-Frank, the Wall Street Journal has been quoted that community banks are doing better now than they have.
Not true.
Because of the fact that the big banks can't monopolize. Why did the big banks and Wall Street monopolize? Because one of the things that Dodd-Frank did is saying you can't use your investment money and then try to turn it to the other side on banking generally. So they've separated those two.
Well, I don't disagree with you point.
Well,
but that's not
the
whole bill.
You bring community banks, according to Wall Street, are doing better right now because of the monopoly that we had in Wall Street and with the bigger banks.
The only way they're doing better is because the big banks have been limited in some of the things they do, and it was needed, and you're right about that. But you guys went too far. You put these big new regulations on the community banks. Talk to any CPA that works for a community bank.
I just made my comment on community banks. I meet with banks. Community banks are doing well.
They're doing terrible, Dutch.
But the Wall Street Journal has said
otherwise. Give you a list of businesses in your district that went to community banks and couldn't get loans.
But you know, also...
one more quick comment, sir, then we're going to take a break.
All right. Well, in my record, just on health care as an example, I was one of the last Democrats to vote for the health care bill because I held out to make sure that small businesses were not going to be penalized because small businesses were having a problem. I held out for 50, but as it turned out, the law now, and there are a couple of us who worked on this, if you were a small business and you have 25 employees or less, you're not going to be penalized for not providing health care. So, you know, I have a record in Baltimore County of working with government. When I, my predecessor, when I came in after as county executive, only created 800 jobs in 4 years. I made jobs a priority. We went from 800 jobs to 47,000 new jobs.
Happened to Beth Steele. Where'd they
and
go?
I still feel very strongly about those issues. And,
okay.
We
are going to take a break. It's another edition of Midday on Politics. Today, the race in the 2nd Congressional District, which encompasses parts of Baltimore City as well as parts of Anne Arundel, Baltimore, Hartford, and Howard counties. Republican delegate Pat McDonough currently represents District 7 in the Maryland House of Delegates. That district includes Baltimore and Hartford counties. Democrat Dutch Ruppersberger has represented the 2nd Congressional District for the past 14 years. They are here with me in the studio. We will take your calls when we come back. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayTomHall. Glad you're with us. Stick around.
This is your NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back to Midday. We're talking to Democratic incumbent 2nd District Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger and his Republican challenger, State Delegate Pat McDonough. You can join us by giving us a call at 410-662-8780. You can drop us a tweet at Midday Tom Hall or send us an email, midday@wipr.org. We do have an email from Phil in Annapolis. He asked me to ask you your positions on climate change. Delegate McDonough, what do you think, climate change?
Well, number one, I believe in climate change. I think it's been with us since the beginning of time. We had a mini ice age back in 800 that ushered in the dark ages, and there was no industry then. But there is climate change. To what degree man has upon it, I don't think it's as great as people say, but there is an impact. I think most of it comes from, and scientists agree with this, from the sun, from the various bursts and the way the sun acts to our hemisphere and our Earth. Does that mean that we shouldn't stop and fight pollution even if man doesn't do it? No. We should do everything we can to fight pollution. And in fact, I support, in terms of energy, wind, solar, all of the above. But I want to make one note that I think we ought to show a little compassion in our policies and understand, for example, with electric rates going up, and President Obama has talked about this, you know, we've got to think about those elderly people in West Baltimore who have to choose between heating and eating sometimes. We need to think about those small business owners that Dutch and I were talking about earlier who can't afford the energy bills, especially the restaurant business, and they have to lay off people. We've got to be very prudent and careful when we go forward on our environmental policies, like the rain tax, for example, things that harm the community. You know, the rain tax costs $400,000 a year in Baltimore County for where Sparrows Point used to be, down at the new trade, Atlantic Trade, $400,000 a year. So we've got to be careful with our policy. But yes, we need to be very serious about pollution, and we need to use our technology. And I really feel, as a person who studies a lot about the future, that America's exceptionalism and our genius, we're going to really take care of pollution. What we're going to worry about in the future, quite frankly, is going to be China and the Middle East and emerging nations who don't have the technology we have.
You know, I think for once, Pat and I can really agree on a lot of the things that he just said. I think that, and there are a lot of people on Pat's side of the aisle that don't agree with this, and in Congress especially. It's our duty to protect the environment, not only for today, but for our grandchildren and tomorrow. Almost all the scientists who've researched this issue will say that we are having a lot of problems with climate change. And all you have to do is look at the change of weathers. You know, you look at the rising sea levels. You look at what's happening in the Antarctic and Antarctica. I mean, it is a serious issue that we have to deal with. And one of the reasons that we have a problem right now, though, is the issue of how we get our energy. And right now, we spend in this country over $400 million, $1 billion, that goes to these really Middle Eastern countries, some of them, that we buy oil from. And the good news under the Obama administration, he's really focused on having us more independent as far as oil and gas. Now, what we're doing here, and it doesn't get a lot of news because it's not as sensational, but it has been determined based on what the scientists have said that we probably will have more energy on natural gas in the United States that will take us 200 or 300 years out, which means if we can find a positive environmental way to maintain and to get this natural gas to our consumers, that will bring manufacturing back because it means our energy costs will go down. Now, there's an issue of fracking out there, and we are doing the right thing in the state now, and Pat, you might be involved with this in Annapolis, but now we're holding fracking until we find out what is the way to get the natural gas out so we do it the right way and we don't hurt our environment. Now, one other thing is Chesapeake Bay, and we have to do, and that's my role in the Appropriations Committee, to bring money back to maintain and to make sure the Chesapeake Bay stays where it is.
Okay, I do want to get to the phone.
Okay, it's actually getting a little better.
Six states, by the way, generate, that are around the Chesapeake Bay, generate close to $1 trillion based on the money that comes out. So Pat and I do agree on most of the issues on this issue.
Okay, I do want to go to the phones. This is a very an issue that I suspect that you have differing perspectives on. Ralph in Cockeysville, you have a question about immigration reform. Welcome to Midday, sir.
Well, thank you. Yeah, real simple. What is your position on immigration reform is part one, and part two is how are you going to convince the other party to go along with your plan?
All right, thanks for your call. Ralph, delegate?
Well, I want to put immigration reform in perspective. A lot of people look at it different ways. Number one, all of the Mexican heroin coming into the United States right now, which is a major epidemic in Baltimore City, it's a major epidemic throughout the state, throughout the country, is all coming across the Mexican border. And that border has to be shut down, whether it's a wall that Donald Trump talks about, whether it's modern technology, whether it's deployment. But I'll tell you what it really is beyond that. It's deployment into Mexico and Central America. It's a tougher, more sophisticated, and smarter assault on the heroin and the drugs that are coming into the United States. It's also now fentanyl, which is coming from China. Our friends in China who own some of our debt are now selling it to the cartels, and it's killing people quicker than heroin. So, yes, the border must be shut down for that reason alone. But, of course, there's also a question of economic justice for the American people. I'll give you an example. We have Mayor Rawlings Blake saying, I want immigrants to come to Baltimore. I want to increase the population. Well, the fact of the matter, she's talking about illegal immigrants. And who are they taking the jobs from? They're taking from black youth. Minority youth in Baltimore City is 60%. And she's saying, you folks come in here illegally and take jobs from these American citizens. That is insanity. So we've got to shut the border down to stop the jobs. Now, once we shut the border down, the question is, what do we do after that? Are we going to send out police in large numbers to pick people up? No, but we do have a current law that says, yes, we are to enforce within the interior. It's interior enforcement. It's part of the National Immigration Act. And we need to do it. We've got to stop this idea of these criminal aliens, tens of thousands of them. We know all about Kate's Law out in California that went into Congress. And Dutch says he didn't vote against it, but according to our records, he voted against it. But we've got to stop people from being here that are criminals, gangbangers, MS-13 groups like that. They're in Baltimore County. They're not that far from where I live. So, yeah, it's a very serious problem for economic justice and for the heroin. We've got to shut the border down. We've got to have enforcement inside the country. And quite frankly, I don't think we need any new laws. I think we just need to enforce the one that we currently have, which Dutch voted for, which was nothing wrong with the law. It's a good law.
All right, well, let me talk about a plan, because the question is, what is your plan? The first thing I want to say this, every country in the world needs to secure its borders. So that's a high priority. We need to do that. And especially in the southern border, because of what Pat said on some of the drug issues. More importantly, though, as far as the tax recur, not more importantly, but on the same basis, is the issue of terrorism and whether or not terrorists can come in through our border. Now, the first thing I support is that we need a strong border control. I was one of the few people that voted. I'm the only Democrat who voted to make sure that we have the fence, that we give more border, more money for border security agents. They have a tough job there, and we need to do that. We need to secure the borders. The second thing, though, is that all we do in this country on some issues is talk, talk, talk. And both Democrats and Republicans, we've been talking about immigration for so long, and nobody's doing anything about it. Finally, the United States Senate was able to pass a bill. And I'm not in favor of amnesty. I'm in favor of a plan that you earn your American citizenship. If you have to pay back taxes, you need to do that. That you, if you want to become an American, you have to go through a plan, just like our forefathers did when they came to Ellis Island. You know, these are the type of things that we have to do. Now, you know, what are we supposed to do as far as passing a law or how getting on both sides? I think we need to look at this Senate bill, a bipartisan bill that came to the House. Unfortunately, the Speaker of the House would not put the bill on the table because of the Tea Party saying, we don't want it, we don't want you to put it there, and we've never been able to vote on it. And until we start dealing with this problem, we are going to have problems.
So the delegate is suggesting that the current laws that we have are sufficient. You're suggesting that a change in those laws is required.
We have 11 million illegal immigrants in this country, and we haven't done anything other than trying to get some felons. And by the way, the record for Obama, he has been able to deport more felons than most other presidents and equal to Bush.
Because that's true, Dutch, but that's because there are much more in the country now.
It is the amnesty bill. Let me ask you about border security.
Yes.
Do you believe you support Mr. Trump for president?
Yeah.
Do you believe that his plan to build a wall and have Mexico pay for it is viable?
Oh, yeah, I do, because we give Mexico almost, I think at last count, it was like $200 billion a year in trade and assets. And if you're the president of the United States, you pick up the phone and say, look, we're going to build this wall. And I'm not saying the wall's the answer. It's more to the wall. It's not that simplified, okay?
And his rhetoric about immigrants, about banning Muslims from entering the country, do you
I don't agree. I think those are talking points of the Democrat Party and the modern media in the United States. I think what he really said was, and what I would accept, is very serious vetting. I mean, Dutch just backed that up. He just talked about we can't just let anybody in. I mean, Hillary wants to increase the Syrian refugees by 650% to start with. No, we need to have serious vetting in this country. I mean, just look at all the incidents. Look at all the danger. And the border is a sieve. Listen, they are paying $10,000 for every single Hamas member or ISIS member they can get across that border to the Mexican mafia. $10,000 to $50,000. So they are using it. And I think Donald's right when he says sometimes our politicians are pretty dumb, the things they let happen to this country.
All right, let's go to Dave in Hagerstown. Dave, welcome to Midday with Representative Ruppersberger and Delegate McDonough. Thanks for your call.
Well, thank you, Tom, for taking my call. I've been listening since the beginning, and my initial comment or question, actually, had to do with voter fraud. But real quick, I'd like to make a couple comments on things that I've been listening to. I'm glad everyone agrees that to run a country, we need to pay taxes, and it would be great if Mr. Trump would join us in that. As far as illegals, I find it odd that Mexicans that are still in Mexico can beat out Baltimore youth for jobs when they're in Baltimore now. Seems like they have the first dibs on getting to those jobs.
Not really.
As far as health care is concerned, for 6 years under President George W. Bush, the Republicans controlled the House, the Senate, the Supreme Court, and the executive branch.
Right, so Dave, let me ask you to ask a question of our guests here, because we just got a couple minutes left on the program.
Okay.
What's your question, sir?
So 2 weeks ago, or three maybe, on an NPR, there was a big discussion about voter fraud, and there was and I can't remember the name of the organization.
And what's your question, sir?
A huge clearinghouse that 20 states have joined. I can't remember the name of the clearinghouse. I wanted to know if Maryland was one of them.
All right. Do either of you know anything about an independent voter registration clearinghouse? Ever heard of it?
No, not familiar with it. But, you know, I want to just say in respect to Dave's question and concern, I'm sticking with one voter fraud program that I know is good, and it's a problem. And we're going to stick with it with the elections over, whether I win or lose. Judicial Watch is going to be involved. It's a simple system. The jury system is the same throughout the entire state of Maryland. And if they're doing it in one, they're doing it at all of them. Because if you call Linda Lamone and you say to her, Linda, how many illegal immigrants have you gotten sent to you from the jury system? She'll say none. Call the state prosecutor, Mr. McDonough, no relationship to me. And you say, Mac, how many have you gotten? None. And the law says you're supposed to get them all. They are there.
You know, you give me the evidence, you give me the facts. I was a former prosecutor. I feel very strongly
about our support.
Our system of government, but you've got to give me the facts.
But it's a federal violation.
Give me the juice, okay? And you've
I'll
you've
give
raised,
you the current you've, papers you've
raised,
we have.
You've raised the issue, and I will be happy to go to the U.S. attorney and say, here's the evidence.
Right.
But you have to have evidence packs.
We have
sometimes
it. We have it.
You make comments that get people excited, but let's
I make
take
comments
excited.
About the right. truth and things that need to be done, but I don't want to caution. I don't want to use that tone. I'll say this to you, Dutch.
Yeah.
It's serious, and I will talk with you about
right,
it.
And I appreciate both of you being here. Our hour goes by very quickly. Thank
really
you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate your being here and appreciate everybody tuning in. Dutch Ruppersberger is the incumbent Democratic congressman for the 2nd District. Republican Delegate Pat McDonough is challenging him for that seat in the election that takes place a week from Tuesday. Early voting has started. It continues through the weekend and until next Thursday. We've got links to the candidate's website on our website, wypr.org/midday. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknall. Thanks also to Ray Heppner, our chief engineer, who did some very quick thinking today to stave off a potentially rotten technical problem, and we appreciate his work. Midday is produced by Rob Sivak, Bridget Armstrong, and Kathleen Cahill. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Coming up Monday, a reporter's roundtable about the race for mayor and city council in Baltimore City. Jane Miller from WBAL Television, Luke Broadwater from the Baltimore Sun, and Kenneth Burns from the WYPR Newsroom join me to talk about how the leadership in city government will undergo one of the most striking transformations in its history. That's coming up on Midday Monday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being with you again next week. Have a great weekend.